Hey there, Castle Rock fans. Welcome back to the Castle Rock After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are breaking out Episode 8, Past Perfect. Wow, what an episode. We'll be talking the Castle Rock Murder House, the Kid and Henry, and yes, we hear it now. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Edge of my seat.
Yes.
Edge of my seat. Wow. Oh my gosh. Everyone, to all of our Castle Rock fans, we are back. As always, I am Veronica, and I have a lovely panel. To my left, we have...
Hey guys, Zia here.
Hey, it's April.
And coming up later in the show, we will be talking this mind-blowing episode, everything that happens with Molly. The kid speaks the most we've ever heard him in the past 8 episodes. And of course, we have our special fan shoutouts and Easter eggs. But before we get into any of that, I mean, I already said how I feel about this episode, but what about you guys?
I loved this episode. We get to learn so much more, and they do that thing again where they tell you one thing and you're like, oh my god! Tell me more, and then it ends. And you're like, okay, great. but I love that. And I love that they introduced two new characters, and I was like, oh, we're going to have two new characters. Mm-hmm. And then, nope.
About that.
Yeah. I love that. It was very The Shining reminiscent. I like that they threw that in there.
I'm just so excited to be back. I miss last week's episode, The Queen, which actually ended up being my favorite episode thus far.
We missed you.
It was such a good episode. But I'm glad to be back because a lot happens in this, and I'm excited to start talking about it.
Definitely. Guys, I know that this episode opened up with so much. Like you said, Zia, we were introduced to that couple that we saw, I think, way back in episode 3 with Molly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we've talked, Castle Rock... Everything they introduce in the show has a purpose. It will come back. Every little line has a meaning. Mm-hmm. And so to see that again, it was like, they play a role here. So that was awesome. But I think the thing on all of our minds, and I think it would be best to just start off with this because it was the most mind-blowing part of the episode, was that very last scene where the kid's like, that's where you are over there in the woods, where you died, referring to Molly. What?
He was so chill about it, like, right over there? Yeah, that's where you died.
She's just staring at him, and then he started telling her all these things about her life. Like, this is where your bed was, and this is where you painted your nails white with whiteout. And so I thought he was maybe channeling Henry's father, but now I'm not so sure. Now I think he just knows things about people.
Exactly.
He was there.
So. I had that exact same feeling. I was like, oh my god, was Ruth right? Is this Matthew reincarnated? And like, was she on the right path? And then it fell on Pangborn, who's now dead. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. I had that exact same thought that it would have been Matthew. But then again, in that course of like 3 minutes, my mind was like, okay, it's this one. No, wait, it's this direction. No way, it's this direction. Did not see that coming.
There's any way you can go. And I have a theory. I'm not going to save it for predictions because it's just kind of a wild theory. But what if it's just a town full of dead people and they just don't know it?
Like Lost?
Ooh. Yeah. Like they're all just living in this town dead and they don't know they're dead and it's like literal hell for them there. And the kid is the only one that knows that everyone is dead. And so he's like, hey, that's where you died.
Oh my gosh, that actually kind of makes the kid's character more heartbreaking if that would be a reality.
He's the only one that knows.
He's the only one that knows. Because it's like, in the beginning, we talked about this, where we feel sympathetic towards his character because he's, you know, doesn't know how to socialize. He doesn't understand society. And then in the past couple episodes, we're like, he's evil. And now it's like, oh no.
Is he, though?
I don't know how to feel about this guy. He makes me so conflicted.
Seriously, you go back and forth constantly.
Yes.
I'm still not sure that he is evil. I feel like there were some comments in the videos too saying they're not sure that he's evil, and I'm not sure that he is either, or that he's intentionally really doing anything. He's preparing for something, but clearly. I don't know if it's for the good or for bad. He rescued Henry. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another theory I had in that instance leading up to the big reveal was I immediately thought, okay, maybe it's Matthew resurrected. And then I had another thought. What if the kid can channel emotions and feel people the way Molly can feel Henry, and he's connected to Molly, and that's how he was like, I know all of this stuff about you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys also thought that as well.
I sort of had a feeling that he was like that, and that's why he seems to know so much about Matthew slash Ruth, and then on to Molly. And now I'm wondering if next episode he's going to start telling everybody about all of their lives, because he's, I was there, but what does that mean? Was he there with her, like you said, like they're connected?
Yeah, that's very interesting, and I wouldn't put anything past the show at this point.
But not at all.
Everybody in the comments are so conflicted, whether they think he's evil or he still has good in him. Some people just think that he's important and that they're using people to lure him. Like, I think Lacey took Henry, then caught the kid like a fish to lure him. Like, so many theories.
So many things. All I can say is, and I know I said this in the beginning, was the kid... Like, this is the first time we've heard Bill Skarsgård really speak a lot in this entire series. Like, that full-on conversation he had with Molly, I was like, finally, you speak. Because in this previous work with It, he hardly talked to. And if he did, it was in a weird, creepy voice. And I was like, aha, that's what you sound like.
I know things.
I know. But it was crazy. And it was also kind of like a heartbreaking reveal for Molly to even consider that she might be dead, especially in the beginning of this episode. She had a kind of a lovely moment with Henry after she saved him. Not to mention she might have also killed Odin. More than likely killed Odin.
You think it was her?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of thought that it might have been the kid that... The Culkin, what was his name again?
Oh, yeah. What, Willie?
Willie. I kind of thought it might have been Willie because he was supposed to perfect him. Or make him, you know, and I thought that instead of, because that's what he was going to do it with, I think. That was a hot poker in the fire. I kind of had a feeling that Willie might have, like, freaked out and was like, I don't want to do this, and stabbed him and ran away. I don't know.
It definitely could be. I just assumed Molly because it felt like that's what it was setting up, because she saved him, there he was, but it most definitely could be Willie. So that means we might see a Culkin again late in later episodes, which is Culkin. Always exciting. But there was... Molly and Henry have obviously had a rough relationship in the past couple episodes because she revealed to him that she killed his father. Whether he believes her or not, he was just like, you're absolutely crazy. But in that moment, you could tell he felt like he was crazy because he was hearing all these things. He was seeing all these things and probably reliving some of these memories from what it looked like. But in that moment, she was like, I know how you feel. Everyone used to call me crazy and you just get used to it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that one hurt.
That one hurt. But then there's a lovely moment to them where he's like, you're not crazy. And I'm just like, thank you. Well, because it was so sweet. We know that Molly has always had good intentions for Harry. She's always cared for him. And so I really appreciated that moment that Henry was finally able to support her in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that as well. I felt like they had way more to talk about, though. Yeah. She just dropped him off at home. They didn't talk about anything. They're not discussing any of what happened. Don't you guys want to know what's going on?
I think that's what the intention was, because at the end of the episode, she's like, I'm coming over. I don't want to be alone. I think they would have talked it out if it wasn't for the kid being there.
Yeah. And something was happening with her towards the end of the episode, too. I felt like... maybe her feelings, or she was also kind of having those weird vision flashes that Henry had. I don't know if she was reliving things or if they were just getting much worse for her.
Because she was taking a lot of pills.
Yeah. She took 4 instead of her usual half of a pill.
Yeah.
So that's a bad sign.
She was on a trip.
Yeah.
So who even knows? Who even knows if that reveal was real?
Yeah.
But it was still incredibly crazy. Molly had a wild time in this episode. Mm-hmm. But... one of the big parts that includes Molly is also the fact that she sold what used to be Dale Lacey's house to this new couple. And they seem all... I shouldn't even say they seem normal, because in the very beginning when they're introduced, he's like, you had an affair, and smacked the hoobla after that man.
Mm-hmm. And clearly he was not over it and trying to make it work with his wife. But it was very uncomfortable between them, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And they're turning his house into, like, a murder house museum, which I also find kind of funny, because when Jackie comes in, she's like, I wish I did this.
It's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a bad idea. But did you notice that when he was staring at the painting of the lake, he was kind of transfixed by it? And then he also, when he found the paintings of the kid, that's also when he... became he got weird when he was looking at those paintings. There was something about him.
There's something about it, and I think their timeline matches up at the time that the kid escapes from Juniper Hill.
Ah.
That's what I assumed, because at first I thought, oh, maybe their timeline kind of starts with the kid maybe just getting released from Shawshank and when all the chaos started happening. But then if later on in the episode when Henry shows up and those two timelines kind of coincide with everything that just happened, I was like, okay. I feel like their start kind of started maybe when he escaped from Juniper Hill. I don't know. Chaos just seems to follow everyone in this town. But let's talk about that. How Gordon, who's the man, and I think Lilith was the name of his wife. Anyone watching on YouTube or listening on audio, definitely let us know if that was her name. Because I know the husband's name was Gordon. But they buy this house and they go down the basement and they find all these paintings of the kid. And I'm just like, what is up with that?
Yeah.
It was bizarre. And you can assume that they had to have been done by Lacey, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. I'm assuming it was him. His wife is blind. Unless she just can see things.
It said on the paintings, because he did it each year, it said it Lacey, so it was
him. And then each year. And he looked the same in every year, which we already know. But still, Henry just found that out. He didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It was haunting to see the look on his face as he, like, it was 2005, then it was the 90s, and, like, all the years that it went back, just him realizing that was so good.
Yeah. And also, so creepy for him to realize that they painted a picture of him wearing the same shirt that Henry was wearing the night he went missing. What does that mean?
And I'm just going to throw this out there, kind of like you threw out your theories, Zia, because I feel like it's such a wild card that it might actually not be a legitimate prediction.
Right.
But I was just like, in that moment, I was like, what if the kid is supposedly like a real Henry Deaver? And like Henry is the supernatural creature that is making people like believe or make them think what he wants them to think.
Maybe. Ooh.
Because of that weird like... Yeah, the weird painting where they're wearing the same clothes. Mm-hmm. I had that initial thought, and I was like, this show makes me think so many things.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. So, Gordon, basically, him and his wife are turning this house into, like, a bed and breakfast murder house, and they get a booking. They're not the most respectful house guests at all. Some sexy fun times going on there.
Yeah. Yep.
But in that moment, he, like, loses control and kills them. And we obviously all think it has something to do with the kid and the influence.
I think it was the paintings.
You think it was the paintings?
Yeah, because just the way that he was looking at them and the look that he got on his face, it was such a deep stare. And his wife didn't have it. And it was just him. And I think it's because he already had some darkness inside of him because of finding out about his wife. And he obviously wasn't in a very good place. And I think that, I don't know if it's the kid or if it's the house or if it's the town or if it's whatever it is, kind of feeds on that in people. And his wife just sort of went along with it.
Definitely.
Until he just snapped when he heard those people having sex upstairs.
Yeah. like, calm down, guys. Calm down. But I just think that's crazy because we all kind of threw out some speculation in the beginning that, oh, maybe, you know, something happens to that person and they snap when they come in contact with the kid. We thought that with Dennis. Maybe not necessarily the case because Henry's had contact with him. We've also thought, you know, we've had a lot of speculation on what could be this connection, why there's chaos. But the fact that this guy could snap just by looking at pictures of a random guy. He doesn't even know who this person is, just a random person, and it has that influence over him. I'm just like, what voodoo magic is going on in this town?
Seriously. Mm-hmm. I also really think it started with the painting of the lake. And they keep all that weird stuff also keeps happening at the lake. I wonder if that also has something to do with it. Although it does seem there's definitely something up with the kid, because what happened at Juniper Hill, we still don't know.
We still have no idea. And I definitely think so far they referred to the lake a lot because obviously that's where Henry was and that's where Dale Lacey ended his life. But it's always just kind of been referenced. But as the show does, I feel like the lake is definitely going to play a bigger part in the next few episodes
Yeah, it has to come into, like, with the season finale at some point. I think, like, the big revelation is going to be at the lake.
I kind of think that as well, yeah. It's going to be where it all goes down. I mean, I hope.
In two episodes, guys.
I can't believe it. This show went by so, so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty, we've been saying that for the past couple of episodes, just as it's been getting, like, episode after it's over. Like, guys, it's almost over. What the heck?
I know, I'm really actually sad.
I know.
This is one show where I'm dying to find out what happens, but I could totally watch another three or four episodes.
I really could.
If it was, you know, like a 14-episode season, I'd be fine
with
that.
I could yeah. go with that.
Aurora said that we actually did find out what happened to the patients. It was announced the patients started setting their mattresses on fire.
Oh! Oh, I'm glad that they caught that, because I missed that.
Yeah, me too. Good catch, Aurora.
Okay.
Good catch. Thank you to everyone in our live chat commenting. Again, you know, we have our live chat. If you want to participate in our discussion, clearly you guys have great predictions, great answers to some of our questions. So definitely be a part of that if you can. But yeah, so after everything that happens back at Henry's house, which we will get into all of his stuff with the his interactions with the kid, Wendell, and Ruth a little bit later on in the show. But basically, after all that goes down, Henry goes to the murder house where he sees the paintings, which we've already discussed. And it was that... The thing I love about this show is it's not set up like a typical horror show where they feed on those horror tropes. So in that moment when Henry was leaving, it was just pure silence. And out of nowhere, the wife just stabs him. Like, I jumped because I was not expecting that. I don't know about you guys.
No, I wasn't. And I just couldn't help but think when she did it, what an idiot. What are you doing? Are you just murdering everyone that comes into your house?
Is that
what we're doing now?
That was a shocking thing, too, because she... I don't want to say she seemed like the sane one, because clearly she was assisting her husband in the cleanup, but she... wasn't the one who seemed like was being influenced by this evil until that moment.
Mm-hmm. I think that she feels so guilty that she cheated on her husband, which is A, why she'd stood by him, and B, why she's kind of joining in it with him. Like, if that's what he's doing now, she's like, well, that's what I'm going to do. Either that, or she just got really scared that he was an intruder, and she was like, oh, I'm going to get him. But either way, still stupid.
I think the house started working some voodoo magic on her with the paintings.
Started to get her too.
I mean, spending that much time in that house around that paintings, it was bound to happen. But then, of course, Jackie comes to save the day.
Yes! Yay! With the axe.
Best part, yes. That she used an axe to do it. Yes. I loved it.
Because Henry was, you know, fighting and keeping his own, but he definitely needed assistance. Otherwise, he probably would have gotten extremely hurt. And so, yeah, Jackie comes and basically saves the day, and then all the cops show up, and it was just a very interesting thing, because I wonder if, you know, I'm assuming it's going to be like there was some weird accident thing going on. Well, had to be.
Well, she even says, like, I didn't have control of myself when she did it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just become an acceptable answer in this town, because everything happens that nobody can explain. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They're like, sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
It happens every day.
I agree with you, April, that has become an acceptable answer in this town. But I feel like that's also a very clear red flag of they were influenced by something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like another one bites the dust kind of thing.
Yes.
So much craziness is going in this town. But the murder house, I think, was an interesting way to kind of rope in that couple from the very beginning of the series into a bigger part of this story. Because, again, they buy Dale Lacey's house and then they find out all this weird basement stuff. And the basement is actually something that plays a big part later on in the episode that we find out. But before we get into any of that, everyone out there, all the Castle Rock fans, we have a special announcement for you.
Ooh. I'm not going to be able to do this as good as Jorge with his creepy voice.
I believe in you. Oh,
thank you. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Thank you, Zia.
That was not creepy at all. You're welcome.
But again, we appreciate all of our Castle Rock fans out there. Without you, none of this would be possible. We love seeing your discussions and your predictions. And we actually have a few comments that we want to get some shout-outs to because they were pretty awesome. So, April, what do you got?
So this was from last week's episode, The Queen. Black and White Rainbow said, "Nothing in this town stays dead," suddenly becomes the most hopeful line of the show. Obviously talking about Pangborn, which broke my heart. And then we have Drick Hsu, who said, "Truly amazing episode with the writing, the direction, the acting, and the editing. Everything. So sad about Alan Pangborn's ending. Although I feel like he might still return somehow. I also like that they had Shuliar Fisk, who is Sissy Spacek's real-life daughter, play the younger version of Ruth." I don't know if you talked about that in the episode, but I had no idea.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my gosh. I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
Another thing about the time out of sync thing. Did anyone notice that in the doctor's office, there was a moment where the doctor's words were said before the doctor's mouth actually moved, like an editing glitch? Could that be a sign that she has the power of prediction or premonition? In that case, hopefully Alan's death is just a premonition that hasn't happened yet. Fingers crossed. But obviously, we learned in this episode, he really did die as they took away the body, unfortunately. I wish he was still here, too.
I feel like we could honestly have talked about last week's episode this week for another hour.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
There was so much that happened. And again, you know, it was beautiful. But yes, so many good comments, so much good discussion. We love hearing it. And please, please, please keep it coming. All right, ladies, let's talk about Henry and the kid. There has been so much connection between these two since the very beginning, but this episode I feel like we got a little bit more from the kid's perspective. So let's start at the very top, where basically it's kind of like the aftermath of what happened from the previous episode. Molly drops him off, Henry comes home, and my first thought was, where's Wendell? Where is Wendell?
Again, this kid.
That was our question last week too. Where is Wendell?
Apparently he slept in a church pew.
Which I was kind of confused about, because even if your grandma had sent you out to a mall, which we learned that's where he went, wouldn't you have just come home later on in the night?
That's also what I thought, unless he was really so scared that was something was happening. But again, you just left your elderly grandmother there and didn't come back. I don't know about this kid.
I love his reaction when he sees him again and he's like, oh, he's still here? Yeah, the creepy dude you left with your grandma? Yeah, he's still here. Like, maybe you shouldn't have left.
Right, especially because she sounded so frantic. She's like, go to the mall, buy yourself a gift. Like, he could tell something was off. And he didn't call the cops, he left anyway. Instead, he calls the cops when he shouldn't have called the cops. Sorry.
The cops were not needed at that moment. But Henry, on the other hand, they're both shocked. Wendell and Henry are both shocked that the kid is in their house. However, Henry's shock is a little bit more understandable because the last time he saw him, he was at Juniper Hill.
Yeah.
But now he's back in his house. And the interesting thing I thought about this whole scene after, you know, the kid basically takes Henry to go see Alan Pangborn's body. The thing I found interesting about this was the kid was like, you have to help me bury the body. And he was protecting Ruth.
He said, we have to protect her.
And I think we kind of established that last week, right? That you would tell he had different feelings towards her. Like, he did want to protect her. He didn't want to hurt her.
Right. He was making her food and trying to get her to lie down. Which
they were dancing.
Which we thought was creepy, but maybe he just can't help himself and he seems creepy in everything he does. And he was really trying to be caring.
That's a good point.
Yep. I thought that was very interesting that he wants to protect her, because I feel like that validates it a little bit, that he doesn't want to hurt people. So maybe it is a power that he can't control, or maybe Ruth is just special in some way to him.
Because maybe he is somehow the reincarnation of Matthew or something.
We really don't know.
We have no idea. I have no idea.
It's frustrating in the best way possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well done, Castle Rock. Well done. But also in that moment, Henry starts to hear the schisma. And the kid is like, you can finally hear it.
Yes.
Not like that. It was definitely more
just
eerie.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? That would be creepy. Just like a complete opposite from everything we've seen from him this season.
Suddenly he's very nice and personable. He's like, oh my God, yeah, hey, so you hear it now. Great. I'd be like, what is happening?
So this was obviously a point, and we'll talk about this in a minute, where I feel like the kid finally can start his mission to whatever he was supposed to do with Henry, why he was recruiting him, basically, to come back to Castle Rock. And now this is, like, the starting point of, like, finally we can move on. Like, let's get going. But so not only was it very upsetting for Henry to have to see Alan dead, I'm sure, you know, he was probably upset, but you could definitely tell he was more concerned for his mom.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely, him and, we know him and Alan had so much tension, but they both loved Ruth. And so in that moment, I obviously know, I was like, he's not thinking about, this is sad, he's thinking about, how's my mom handling this?
Yes, and that's the hard part. And I definitely think, well, he said it later too. I definitely think that if Wendell hadn't called the cops, he would have helped him bury the body in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to kind of keep it under wraps and keep it quiet. Because I'm not sure how much you can really prosecute an older woman who has Alzheimer's or dementia.
Dementia, yeah.
Right. And because she's obviously not in her right mind, but it would still be a horribly traumatic experience for her to go through. And he would want to protect his mom the best way that he can. So he would have done it if the police hadn't come.
I like that moment with him and the police officer, though, like, she let him have it, like,
yeah.
You don't know me, but we all know you, and described him as a lightning rod.
Yeah.
Like, that was intense.
Yeah, that's kind of what got me thinking, too, is maybe it's not the kid that's causing all these issues. Maybe it's Henry. Because, she even said, like, you're back in town not even 2 weeks, and look at all that's happened.
What was his nickname? Like, wrong. The Black Death? Was that
something
what it
like
was?
Yeah.
Like, what a nickname to be stuck with as a kid.
That's traumatizing.
And also, does that go back to when he was a kid? Were they calling him that because bad things happened around him back then as well?
I feel like that's what I want to assume.
That's what I was thinking.
Or what they're alluding to.
Right. Yeah. So maybe it is him, and the kid is like his opposite.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I abandoned my theory a while ago that Henry was some supernatural being. Now I'm bringing it back because it's starting to feel like that again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I had that same thought. I was like, maybe it's Henry. I'm sure this town always had its issues, but I feel like whether it's Henry or whether it's the kid being released, the chaos has definitely increased since they've both been out and about,
yes,
at the very least. But yeah, she was brutal, that cop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was actually kind of rude to say to someone who just lost someone and was going through. She's like, yeah, I know Pangborn died and she was really important to your mom, but we don't like you. Oh, okay.
Just adding it on there.
Yeah, it's a really nice lady.
And I know last week, one of the things we were, after watching last week's episode, one of the things we were very excited for this episode was to see the aftermath of what happened with Alan and Ruth and if she's kind of full on in dementia or if she recalls everything that happened. And we learned that basically she doesn't. She has no recollection of what happened because when Henry goes to see her, she still thinks that she killed a resurrected Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asks for Alan.
Oh, that was so heartbreaking.
It was very, very heartbreaking. And you know that she's going to keep asking until someone has to tell her, to which they're going to have to.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that scene where Henry, which, by the way, after he gets stabbed and he's at the house and they just let him run off and peel away in the middle of a crime scene with a stabbing victim. And they're like, yeah.
Questions?
How did that happen? But that's beside the point. They called him or someone from the church called him saying that his mom was there asking if Pangborn was dead. So I feel like she maybe has little flickers. Mm-hmm. So she kind of knows something's going on because she recognized after she shot him, she recognized that it was him and laid down with her head on his chest and with her head on his chest, yes, and cried. And I'm thinking that so she knew it in that moment, and then she went back to her dementia state, and then she kind of had a flicker back. So she's freaking out. I think there might be a moment when she realizes it, and that's going to be really hard.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
It's so emotional.
It is. Just, oh my gosh, we were a mess last week, April. Mm-hmm. It was rough. There was just so many feelings. Mm.
Sissy Spacek has to get a nomination, I feel like, for this show.
Yes.
Has to get an Emmy nomination.
Especially for that episode, because that was a big, big mm-hmm. episode for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to, I just saw this in my notes, and I kind of want to go back to this, because this was also something that I found very interesting. So in that moment when Henry is basically being grilled by the cop, I found it interesting that she, her lines were something along the lines of, maybe you shouldn't, you know, maybe you should think harder before you spring a criminal from prison. And he was like, well, maybe it's the prison that made him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so interesting that even after everything he's seen, everything he's interacted with the kid, he's still defending him.
Mm-hmm. I think he's more defending his actions to protect him.
That makes sense.
He's still, I think he might be creeped out, but he's still like, no, I'm standing with my original thought that this is a very messed up thing to do to a human being. And to be fair, he might be right. 27 years in a cage, you're not going to come out okay. And if they are looking for him as a suspect in an escape from Juniper Hill, how can they call him a suspect for other inmates setting their beds on fire?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just for the shooting?
I don't know.
We don't know. The show does things.
It does. It really does.
But I thought that was so incredibly interesting. And then, guys, try and help me refresh my memory where the kid, you know, Henry's having this conversation with the kid, and then something about the basement comes up, and the kid basically says, like, I spent 27 years in a basement to help you, and I didn't ask for this.
He said, I rescued you from that basement, and I didn't ask for any of this. Which is crazy.
Again, making us feel like we should feel bad for him.
Right. Because he didn't ask for any of this. How did he find him? What was he doing out in the woods? Who is he? Where was he living?
I was really hoping we would just get a little sliver more of who he was, because he was talking so much this episode. Nope, he's just going to tell us everything about Molly.
No, more about you.
yes, we need more about you.
I would like to know a name.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
I like that the cop pointed that out, like, you were helping this guy and you never got his name, and he's like, no.
If you talk to this kid, you would understand.
Yeah.
I feel like Henry needs to reevaluate being a lawyer.
You're kind of thinking that too.
Yeah, like, come on, Henry, come on. But yeah. He rescued him from some basement. We don't know what that is. Rescued him at what point in time? And he didn't ask for it. So clearly, again, it makes you feel like it's such a roller coaster with this kid. It's like one minute you feel bad for him. The next minute you think he's pure evil. The third time around, there's something about him where it's just like he got forced into this. Like maybe he isn't actually some supernatural being, he's just forced with an ability or something that Lacey found out about.
He mm-hmm. obviously hears the schisma also, mm-hmm. because he asked Henry, do you hear it now? It's time to go into the woods. What are they going into the woods for, you guys? That's what I want to know.
To hear better?
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Isn't that something we learned in Filter, that they go into the woods because they can hear the voices clearer?
Yeah. So maybe the voice of God is going to tell them something? I still don't know what the end goal is.
Speaking of hearing things, Wendell starts hearing in
yes.
this episode.
Oh, yeah. And he hears it loud.
Like, mm-hmm. I think louder than Henry. Like, this was, mm-hmm. like, crippling. Like, he was just sitting here like mm-hmm. this, not able to move.
Yeah, because I believe in that Filter episode as well, Odin gave a big speech about how some people can't hear it at all, some people can hear it as a reading, for others it's deafening. And this was definitely a deafening schisma that Wendell was hearing.
Mm-hmm. And you notice after that happens, he turns around and goes back to Castle Rock.
Why do people want to go to this town?
I don't know. I'm wondering if it's his dad or is it just the town drawing him back in?
And it wasn't even just that. Another crow fell and hit the window. Like, this keeps happening regularly on the episodes. Like, when they dropped off the kid at Juniper Hill, one died and they said, oh, this is like the second one this week. Mm-hmm. What is going on with the birds?
And that couldn't have been the kid because if they said it was the second one this week, the kid wasn't there at that point.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with them. Give me your theories in the comments. I need to know what you think is going on with this.
So much happened this episode, ladies. But before we get into anything else, what are our final thoughts? Any final thoughts?
Tell me more.
Literally just the thought of every single episode. Yes. Tell me more. I'm at this point now where it's like, please, just tell me something about the kid. The reveal with Molly was very shocking and interesting, but I'm also just like, tell me more about you.
They're still doing it. They're still doing that thing where they end it at a point, and you're like, oh, I know that's how good TV works, and that's how you're supposed to do it, because it makes you want to keep watching it, but oh my God, why isn't this a binge show? Mm-hmm. That's just where I'm at with that.
Yeah, it is crazy. I have never been, like, this wide open for the last two episodes where it's, like, anything could happen. I don't have any predictions for how this show is going to end yet, and I think that's a real testament to the writing of the show. Mm-hmm. It is just so strong.
True. Nothing is predictable, and I think that is absolutely amazing. So before we go into any of our Easter eggs that we found this episode, I just want to take a moment to remind everyone out there about iTunes. Of course, you can always watch along with us on YouTube, comment and discuss there, join our live chat, but you can also take us with you on the go on iTunes. So please also rate, review, and subscribe. And if we get comments there, we'll also do some really great fan shout outs. So definitely take us with you on YouTube and iTunes. All right. Again, and if anyone in our live chat was able to find any Easter eggs from this episode, please comment and let us know. But now I will turn to Zia. I know we didn't have many
this episode. And one of them we actually already talked about was Jackie Torrance going to the house and telling them about axes, which is kind of amazing. And also the fact that she killed the husband with an axe. Mm-hmm. Also incredible. To The Shining, obviously. Yeah. The other one was the BTK killer. So when the new owner of Castle Rock Bed and Breakfast, Historical Bed and Breakfast, when he was talking about how he wrote his dissertation or his scholarly work on the BTK killer, that's a real-life serial killer who also served as an inspiration for Stephen King's A Good Marriage, which is about a woman who discovers that her husband has deadly secrets. Mm. So, and it's also a storyline that is evoked in the episode that With what follows, with the husband killing people out of nowhere and the wife kind of keeping his secret. So that was another little Easter egg there. But that's all that I found. If you found more, please let us know, because I'm sure there are other ones, little sneaky ones in there.
Definitely, definitely. Yes, please keep commenting those, because in the past there have been quite a few. But I feel like as the season has gone on, they've been kind of getting a little bit more scarce, and that maybe that's just because there's so much other stuff going on that it's like, we don't.
They're focusing on creating, like, new original stories more.
Mm-hmm. And as an audience, we're focusing more on trying to wrap our heads around some of these reveals, get all the information that we can. We're not so much looking out for Easter eggs, but they are still absolutely great when we catch them. So, April, if anyone has any other great ones in the comments now or later on,
we should. Aurora said the red balloon from It when they release all those balloons.
That was the one I had. I was going to say it, but I was like, I feel like I've already said that and it's so obvious, but yeah.
Castle Galt said the birds are affected by EMF. And then Aurora also said the first one could have fallen when the kid was released, the second one for him being locked up again, and the third being for when Wendell began to hear the noises. Ooh. So, like, all for, like, big important events is when they start falling.
Interesting. I actually think that's a great prediction, and I think that's a great segue into trying to get into some of our predictions for next week's episode. Let's get into
And now, Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, I have a few theories, I guess you could say. I'm starting to wonder if maybe the kid is Matthew reincarnated. As we discussed earlier, I'm starting to wonder if maybe he just feels connected to a lot of people and that's how he knows all this information. I'm also starting to wonder if maybe he's really Henry Deaver and in some past life or something, and, you know, that's why he's so connected to him. What I would love to know, though, and I'm sure they will bring this back in the next two episodes, is how Lacey got involved in all of this. Like, we heard his side of the story with what he was trying to do, but I think it would be great to see, like, how it even came to him and how he even was able to discover that it's the kid. I think that'd be great to find out.
That would be awesome. I kind of think that... So the schism, they're talking about how it might be the sound between two worlds, two realities colliding. Maybe there was a rip in that, and that's where the kid came from.
Interesting.
And he's kind of just been watching these people from, that's why he came from the woods, and he's trying to go back to whatever his world is, and maybe he needs Henry for that for some reason. That's also a really far out there one, but you never know.
Honestly, we can do some really far out theories here. I would have never in a million years would have said, hey guys, guess what? Molly's dead.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can literally say whatever at this
you
point.
You didn't see that coming?
True. Oh, I saw it coming from a mile away, April.
My prediction is I think we're going to see a lot more Wendell. I mean, it is deafening for him. So mm-hmm. I think he's going to end up helping his father in a way that Henry wasn't expecting, and I think they're going to become a lot closer for it.
I wonder if Wendell is going to become more of an asset than Henry. Because I believe that the kid doesn't... Oh, I can't even say this. He does know Wendell exists. He was there. They, like, saw each other. But maybe he didn't know that Wendell could hear the schism, and maybe once he realizes that Wendell can hear it, and he can hear it to the degree that he can... He's going to see that Wendell is more of an asset than Henry and could be used in whatever he needed to use Henry for. And I think that would be a great way to bring Wendell back and give him more of a little bit of a story as opposed to just being, you know, the child with a strained relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm. But I definitely think you're right. There's going to be more story there to him. And you hear it too because he said, the kid even said, Henry's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Wendell will be ready.
Ready for what? Please tell me.
Astrid had a prediction that we'll finally learn the kid's name and identity. I hope you're right, Astrid. I am ready to know.
So.
Give me all the information about this kid.
Watch, it'll be like the last line of the entire season.
It'll be his name.
Yeah, it will be his name. Actually, I love that.
It'll be, who are you? And then he'll tell us, and then it'll fade to black.
I actually would really like that. I think that would be very great.
And then they'll have one more episode to tell us everything else.
an after story. Just get his, like, a little spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could use that.
That'd be great. Just all the rest of the information. It's perfect.
And then Castle Galt said, the schisma is like a shift in the EMF. The kid is what caused it, which is why he's timeless. Lacey put him in a Faraday cage. When he was released, hell broke loose because the sound of the schisma is the hum.
Ooh. I like that.
Yeah.
The sound of the schisma is the hum?
Yeah.
Like, what?
I don't know.
I have to read into that one a little bit more. I think it's great. I need to read into it more. I need to look back at
I'm not the greatest at the science behind the schisma.
Oh, like, yeah. No, that
like
was...
Like, I still need a little...
We were still very much like, yeah, the science behind it was crazy that episode. It was still really great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for tonight's episode. Ladies, where can the fans find you on social media?
You can all find me on Instagram and Twitter at Zia_Land. It's spelled XIA_LAND. Also, you can join me tomorrow night for the Sinner After Show at 7 p.m.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at April13Dawn.
And I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V. You can also catch me on The Outpost After Show Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you again so, so much for tuning in. We really don't want the show to end, but we will be here again next week. So be sure to stay tuned. See you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.